Very good. Thank you, Sheila. I'm not sure whether that was more like the Antiques Roadshow or Acorn Antiques. kept expecting somebody to come on with a very shaky tea trolley. So today we're doing a bit from Mark 9, verses 33 to 37. So I'm just going to pray and then read that bit. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what it teaches us. Would you help me to speak clearly this morning? And would you help us all to listen to what you have to say to us and to let it change us? Amen. Okay, so it says, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, that's the disciples, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. So appropriately for a summer Sunday service, which is slightly shorter, this passage has a very simple message. It's only one point, which is good, because Pauline was very clear that this must be a one-point sermon. I say that point is, if anybody wants to be the first, he must be the very last. It's only one point, but I think it's quite a sharp and a challenging point. It's a pointy point, if you will. Or at least I found it quite challenging, as I've thought about it over the last few days, so it needs a bit of exploring and explaining. So Jesus says, if anybody wants to be the first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Jesus is saying that God's idea of greatness is very different to ours. I think the disciples do something here which is quite similar to what we do a lot of the time. They kind of know that God's view of greatness is different to ours, but they just kind of prefer their own view of greatness, and they default to that. And so they argue between themselves about who's the greatest, but then when Jesus asks them, they're ashamed to tell him, because they know that their view of greatness is different to God's view of greatness, and it's different to how the kingdom of God works. And we know that God's idea of greatness is different to ours, but we still default to our own view. We don't really like God's view of greatness, and we certainly don't want to live it out. Or at least, I don't. So what is God's idea of greatness? Well, Jesus says it's to be the very last and the servant of all. And then he demonstrates this. He takes a little child in his arms and he says, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Now, can a child reward you for looking after them? Can they pay you back in some way? No, they can't. So what self-interest can you have by looking after the child? Well, you can't have any. A little child can't do anything for you in return. They can't pay you. They can't return the time that you've given. They can't even thank you. Or if they can thank you, then they probably won't, because being looked after isn't something that they conceive of you having to be selfless of. Being looked after is just what happens to them. So they don't even realize to thank you. So Jesus is saying there's no room for self-interest in the people who God thinks are great. Those who are great are those who give themselves freely to others, sometimes at great cost to themselves. They become the servant of all. The great ones, Jesus says, are the people who see those at the bottom of the pile, on the bottom rung of the ladder, the people who are struggling and who it's hard to be around and to serve. And they choose to serve them. Most of the time, the message from the world we hear is to climb to the top of the ladder because it's at the top where true greatness is. We hear that achieving more and amassing more than everyone else is the way to be great. It might be amassing more money, more belongings, more fame, more friends, more power, more status. By this reckoning, greatness is defined in relation to how many people are above you or below you on that ladder. So if you're near the top, then you're doing pretty well, but you could be doing better. If you're at the top, then you've made it, you're the greatest. And if you're near the bottom, well, why should I pay you any interest at all? But the gospel turns the world on its head. So Jesus says, to be great, climb downwards. And not only that, he says that it's going in that direction that will find him. He says, when you put other people before yourself without self-interest, when you welcome one of the little children in my name, Jesus says, you welcome me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Now, in case you're wondering, when Jesus says, whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me, we should read that as a kind of idiom, a figure of speech. It's effectively saying, whoever welcomes me does not welcome only me, but also the one who sent me. Just to clarify that. So when we choose to be the last and the servant of all, we won't be great in the world's eyes. We won't be climbing up the ladder. We'll be climbing down the ladder. But in doing so, we do meet Jesus. As we serve the least people, we receive more of God. That's what he promises in this passage. Now, I hope you noticed earlier that I said the message we hear from the world most of the time is to climb to the top of the ladder, because sometimes, outside of the church, the world does recognize people humbly being selfless and serving and sacrificing for other people. So here are two examples. Who knows who these people are? Yes, Pauline, they're the Brownie Brothers. What are they famous for? Triathlon. There's a particular moment that happened in one triathlon, which you may have come across. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's this moment. So Johnny Brownlee was in first place in the triathlon. He got heat exhaustion, so he was basically about to collapse. His brother Alistair was behind him. They're about 500 meters from the finish line. He comes up, he grabs Johnny, he basically drags him to the finish line, and then he pushes him over the finish line before him. And in doing so, Alistair gave up the chance to win that race. And they got a lot of attention after that. They did loads of press interviews. That's possibly one of the moments they're most famous for. But they've both won, I think it's 5 Olympic and Commonwealth medals. Society recognizes that people humbly self-giving, people serving others, is something to be valued. Here's another example. This is a guy called Arnaud Beltrame. Apologies for my French accent. Does anybody know who this guy is? Yeah, exactly. So, can we have the next slide? Yeah, he was a member of the gendarmerie, so that's kind of like a French military police. He was responding to a terrorist attack where somebody had taken people hostage in a supermarket, and he let all but the terrorist let all but one hostage out, and this guy volunteered to switch places with the remaining hostage, and he was actually shot and killed, and that hostage survived because of that, and he was hailed as a hero by many people in France, including the president. Those are just two examples, and one's a lot more extreme than the other, but both of these events made national headlines, and both of the men there were hailed as heroes. Why is this? Well, I think it's because when we see somebody humbly serving others at great cost to themselves, we recognize an echo of the cross. We see that this is what we were created and called to do. That's what being an image of God looks like. And we recognize that self-giving sacrifice is what love does, and it's what the one who is love does for us. In those cases, the selflessness of those men became widely known and praised. I think in our case, especially in our humdrum daily lives, our selfless acts aren't going to be nearly as grand, and they probably won't even be noticed. But Jesus doesn't say, become the last and the servant of all when there are people to see you do it. He says, just do it. And it's often in those little selfless acts, which nobody will see or notice, those ones are the hardest, aren't they? Now, one of the most challenging things that I've heard over the last few months was something somebody said to a group of students at my church at uni, which was this. We're all willing to be a somebody for God, but are we willing to be a nobody for him? We're all willing to be a somebody for God, but are we willing to be a nobody for him? And we see people being nobodies for God again and again throughout the whole Bible. The greatest of God's people become the least for the sake of God. Here's just a quick look at some edited highlights of the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. I'm not sure whether you can see it. The first one is about Abraham. Abraham left the most advanced city there was at the time to become a stranger and a foreigner in a country he didn't know. Moses, it says, regarded disgrace for Christ as of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt. And towards the end of that chapter is one of my favorite verses. It says, they were put to death by stoning, they were sawed in two, they were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. What a crazy sentence. The world was not worthy of them. The only thing that can make sense of that sentence is the gospel. What Jesus has done for us has so turned the world on its head that the people of God who become destitute, persecuted, and mistreated, well, the world wasn't worthy of them. But becoming the last and the servant of all is hard, isn't it? So how do we do it? Well, we should do it, and we can do it, because Jesus has already done it for us. Paul says in Philippians 2, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the greatest man who ever lived was born in an animal shelter, and he used a trough as a cot. He ate with sinners and he served the sick. He died the shameful death of a convict. Therefore, Paul says, he was raised and exalted to the highest place over everything else. You see, Jesus says, whoever wants to be the first must become the last and the servant of all. And the gospel is the news that he's done that. We were the last. We were at the very bottom with no way out. We were servants or slaves to sin. So Jesus became the last and the servant of all in order to place us first, no longer slaves, no longer servants to sin, but sons and daughters of God, heirs with Christ. So you see, we are enabled to humbly serve others when we are amazed and caught up and changed by this gospel, by how Jesus humbly served us, becoming the last and the servant of all for us. And we're changed by the Holy Spirit who works in us to make us more like Jesus. And Paul shows us this just after he's written that incredible hymn I just read in Philippians 2. He writes this. He says, even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. He's grasped the gospel, and now he's grasped by it. And because of that, he's willing to do the same as Jesus did for others, for the sake of God. Now, I'll finish here before I get in trouble for going on too long. I think there's two sides to this coin. For some of us, and that includes me, this is challenging stuff. We need to lay down the attitude with which we try to be the first. We need to stop finding security and meaning in the fact that we've climbed that ladder a few rungs higher than everybody else. We need to see the truth of the gospel. We need to see how it changes everything, how it turns the world on its head. We need to realize that it's in climbing downwards and not upwards that we'll meet Jesus and know him more fully. And we need to ask the Spirit to work in us to change our hearts to desire that. That's one side. The other side of the coin is that for some of you, you need to hear this as a word of encouragement. Those of you who have already been serving others week in and week out for months and years, maybe you're feeling weary. Maybe no one ever thanks you. Maybe no one even notices. Jesus notices. He sees your selflessness and he says, you're the first. You're doing truly great things. You can be encouraged that you're having the same mindset as Jesus, like Paul says. And you can ask him to fill you again, as he promises to do when you serve others, so that with Paul you can rejoice even as you pour yourselves out for others. I'm going to pray quickly, and then Johnny will come back up and close us. Father God, thank you so much for this gospel. Thank you that you have humbly served us, that when we were so low, you've elevated us by dying on that cross. Father, would you give us more of your spirit? Would you change our hearts to reflect more of your heart? Would you help us to humbly serve others as you have done for us, and to rejoice as we do so? And Father, for those of us who are feeling weary, would you fill us up again? Would you allow us to see the glorious gospel, to be grasped by it, to be changed by it? And would you fill us with your spirit so that we rejoice as we serve others as you did? Amen.